I just want to, before I start, I just wanted to give you a little sense about the roadmap of where we're going this afternoon. So I'm going to share our final session, and then we're going to enter into a time of communion and worship and communion, but we're doing it a little bit different. This is, my dear friend Leanne McAllister would call this a pilot project. We're going to see how it works, people. It's our heart that everyone here would be prayed for. It is our heart that everybody would be prayed for. So what we are doing is we have 16 women who will be serving communion in sets of eight. So there will be eight different teams that you can go to receive communion, and they will serve you communion, and then they will ask you a simple question: how can I pray for you? And if you can think of nothing, that's fine. They will pray a blessing over you. But if something has been stirring in your heart, I'd invite you to be vulnerable and ask them to pray for you. So that's where we're going. We'll have a nice, long, leisurely half hour in worship where you'll have the space to do that. And I just wanted to let you know so that you're prepared that at the end of this, that's what we're going to be doing. I'm expecting that the Lord has things he wants to do during that time, and ways that he wants to love us and touch us as we receive communion together. So that is where we are going. But first, we're going to talk a little bit more about friendship. We have been talking about a lot of stuff that might feel a bit challenging. Is some of this challenging? Yeah, I think some of it is challenging. But I wanted to say at the beginning of this time together that I don't want this to feel like a list of shoulds. I should be more loving. I should be more forgiving. I should be more like this. Because we can tend to turn anything into that, right? I am so good at piling shoulds on top of myself. This is an invitation that Jesus initiated and that God wants to do in us. We surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is not something that we have to muster up the courage to do. And white. It might feel like that sometimes in the moment, but we have an amazing helper. We have the Holy Spirit. So, and I want to talk today, as we move to the end of our retreat, about two great helps. The first is the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus. That vertical relationship that we have with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And the second great help that we have is Christian community. So let's just talk about Jesus' love for us. 1 John 4 says that we love because he first loved us. I find this extremely helpful. We do not have the capacity to love with an agape love if we have not first been loved by Jesus. And if we think back to Friday night, we know why, right? Because we were made for that vertical relationship. When that vertical relationship is not present, we're trying to compensate for that. And so we're so full of need that we don't have the ability to reach out in love. So we love because he first loved us. And that is the work that the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our life. He is trying to give us an identity rooted in God's love and care. He is trying to build in us a place of safety and trust. And really, this process of getting to know Jesus is a process of relearning how to be human with that central relationship reestablished. But, okay, here's the thing. We also learn how to give and receive love through our human relationships. As we practice receiving love from people, we grow in receiving it from God. And I have tried to create a graphic to show this. It looks scientific. It's not. Okay. So that top line is friendship with God. And the bottom line is friendship with people. So when we see this, who is the initiator? Who starts this process? God does. Yeah. So we first begin to grow as we receive love from God. But the thing is that we learn what it means to receive love from God from each other because we are the image bearers. And so it is in relationship with each other that we learn what the love of God is like. Let me give you an example. I'll give you first a funny example. When I was 24, I lived in a house with 10 other Christian women, which was insane. And one of the things that I actually put in my bio, for this retreat is I'm a bad dishwasher. I'm just too fast and thinking about too much. And so they were like, anyway, you have to do better at washing your dishes. I also really don't like to not be included in things. And so I was really always, I would be like, what's going on? What's happening? What are you guys talking about? You know? And so I remember one time one of my roommates was like, you're so nosy. And that year was amazing for me because here's the thing is like, I was not the best roommate in the world, right? Like I had my quirks and they told them to me. They told me the things that were driving them nuts about me and they loved me like crazy. They loved me like crazy. And I think for me, what that did was it showed me that I don't have to have it all together to be loved. And walking through that helped me to receive more from the love of God. See, sometimes we have to actually experience through people the love of God. And then we're able to receive it in our own one-on-one relationship with God. But as we receive it from God, we are more able to receive and extend it to other people. So our whole life is like that squiggle that I tried to draw up on the screen. Is like we learn from our relationship with God. We learn from our relationship with people. We learn from our relationship with God. We learn from our relationship with people. And so it is a process where they build on each other. So we love because he first loved us, but he is often loving us through one another. And so that is what it means to love and to love and be loved in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit. That is the direction that the Holy Spirit is pushing us in. We've talked about this a few times. Jesus' command to say, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know that this comes pretty quickly after Jesus had just washed his disciples' feet. Now, I think we sometimes undermine what Jesus was doing in that moment. Nobody took on the role of the lowest slave. Nobody did, but Jesus did. He to act as a slave was to demean yourself, but that's what he did. And he washed his disciples' feet. He served them. And then he said, as I have agaped you, you should agape another. So he shows them, you think about the chart, he's showing them that love, and then he is calling them to live it out with other people. So This is the call that Jesus has for us, the call to move further up and farther in to relationship. And we do this through Christian community. We do this in all our relationships, but I want to talk a little bit about the gift of what Christian community is meant to be. The church can get a really bad rap. I happen to be super passionate about the church, which is maybe why I do what I do. But this place, this, not the building, but this place in the sense of Christian community is an incredible gift. And I like to think of it as a place where we get to practice doing friendships differently than the world does. It's a place where we get to practice, where we have the freedom to try. It's a place where, as we walk in here, the rules get different. You know, in the ancient church, this was so clear in a lot of ways. In the ancient first century church, you would have slaves and masters in the same church, right? And they didn't all get emancipated, you know, in the first 100 years of the Christian story. And so what you would have in every other setting, you would have a slave acting like a slave. And then they would come to church. And everything would be different. Out in the marketplace, out in every other place, they would act like a slave. But here they had a place and would sit down with a master, like a brother. Like here, men and women learned how to have different kinds of relationships. In the early church, in an incredibly stratified society, the wealthy learned how to sit down and treat a poor person like a person. That's what happened in the early church. They were walking in and they're going, we don't know. We don't know how to do this. We just know that we love Jesus and that we saw how he lived and we heard what he taught and we saw what he did for us. And we're just trying to do that for each other. And that's what we're doing. Every day when we come into church, every day when we hang out together in our homes, we get to practice. And I love that word practice because what it gives us, what it does for us is it helps us to be off the hook of being experts. Do you know what I mean? Like we oftentimes feel like church has to be full of happy, shiny people. Do you know what I mean? You gotta like make sure. I mean, thankfully we can wear jeans in church now, right? You know, like, you know, 50 years ago, I don't know. But we feel like we have to already have arrived. But no, we're a mess. We might look okay on the outside, but if we're honest with each other, we get grumpy, we get angry, we struggle with mental health, we get lonely. We struggle with despair. We don't always hope. Like all those things are real. But in the midst of that messiness, in the midst of all of our brokenness, we get to come here and we get to practice. We get to practice being the new creation in the midst of all of our crap, not just on our good days, but on our bad days. We get to show up at Life Group and be a mess. I've done it. Brenda's smiling. We're in the same life group. yes, I've seen you, Kirsten. So this is a place where we get the freedom to try. And it's the place where we get the chance to build different kinds of friendships. Friendships rooted in different things. So we get to build, and a couple ways that they're different, okay? We get to build relationships that are with very different people than us. And we got to hear that a lot from Fiona and Aaron and Kelly, right? Because we walk in the commonality of the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit together. And so we have this huge commonality. Like, I remember I went on a mission trip to Europe when I was in university, and I remember sitting next to a guy with an incredibly thick German accent, who like, he was one of the students in this campus ministry that we were with. And, you know, and I have almost nothing in common with this man except for Jesus. And he's sitting there and he's trying to interpret the service for us. And he's like, "Jesus, thank you. You are in our middle." It was so cute, you know, like, you know, and you just sit there and you're like, I'm in an entirely different place, but I can have fellowship. I can have commonalities with him in the spirit. Isn't that an amazing thing? So we get the chance, because of that bond of Jesus, to build relationship with people that maybe out in other contexts in our culture, they would never connect. You can see that this was Jesus's plan, and you can see this because of Jesus's first small group. Jesus led a small group. Did you know that? He was a small group leader. He had 12 guys. They didn't always get along. There's some great moments in that, but there's Simon the Zealot. He's an interesting fellow. There's Peter, James, and John, and then there's Matthew, who's been ripping them off for the last however many years that he's been a tax collector. So, and then Jesus is like, "Okay, guys, why don't you be friends?" You know, the thing is that Jesus could have done, I mean, think about what it would be like to be mentored by Jesus one-on-one, like, oh, you just sucked it in, right? Why didn't Jesus just do that, have a whole bunch of one-on-ones with his people? Well, it's because he didn't just want them to have relationship with him. He wanted them to learn how to get along. He wanted the church to be a place where people who are radically different and might even have a real reason to dislike each other can get over it and can forgive and can love each other. The church is the place where we get to practice doing that. And it is not always easy, but I can't tell you how much beauty comes out of that. It is amazing. So we also get to work together towards a common goal. We get to serve together, and we are on mission together as God's people. And how beautiful and amazing that is. So the church is a place where we get to build new relationships that are like this. And it is also is a place where old friendships that maybe haven't been maybe as much of being ruled by godly love can be redeemed. So I, let me tell you a quick story of two friends. Two of my bridesmaids were my friends, Karen and Heather. My friend Karen, I met when I was 4, I said, and she and I, we went through high school and we were like barely Christians, right? Like we had lots of questions, and then we went to university and we got involved in a campus ministry and we both got really radically transformed. And that began to seep into our friendship. And our friendship changed. We learned how to talk about not just English literature. We were really nerds. Do you know that we skipped class to study for exams and write papers? We were real nerds. Anyway, but we didn't just do that anymore. We would share about our faith, and we grew and we learned together. And she's still one of my closest friends today. My friend Heather, I met in the campus ministry that we were involved in, and we bonded over having limp hair. We both had really fine hair, but then we would meet. We met once a week in the dining halls, and for once a week, we met for dinner, and we did that for years, and then she graduated and moved away, and we would meet in the middle once a month, and she also is one of my dearest friends. And that was a friendship that was forged in the midst of Christian community, forged over a mutual desire to know what it means to love Jesus and to encourage each other in the journey. These are my covenant people who helped me to be who I am. And I got to become that with them through practice, through practicing being, living out a relationship following Jesus. You know, increasingly in our world, having real relationships is an act of resistance. It's an act of resistance against isolation. It's an act of resistance against how oriented we are towards technology. To choose to have friendships with people who are different than us and to listen and love enough so that you can see the person beyond the issues is an act of resistance in our world of polarization, isn't it? Yeah. It's a resistance against the siloing and the competition that we see in our world. We get the opportunity to choose to love differently. We get the opportunity to choose to live differently. And we get to do that because he first loved us. Jesus invites us into an entirely new way of human, being human. He calls us to connect face to face, to reach across our differences, and he calls us to be gracious towards one another. And you know, it actually isn't just an invitation. If I'm honest, it actually is a command. We actually, on Sunday mornings, I don't know, you can listen, they're all on our website. We've been going through a rather sobering part of the Gospel of Luke. And there's been a lot of talk about the authority of Jesus. And it was a sobering experience in February, earlier in February, I preached about Jesus as the cornerstone. It's the central stone of a building, and it's what everything else is oriented around. It's the thing that all the other stones follow. We've been reminded that he is the cornerstone and that he is the Lord and that we're called to follow him. And this retreat is all about the fact that we're called to follow Jesus into an entirely new way of relating to each other. I want to read Philippians 2, which talks all about this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Christ, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's agape that takes Jesus from Gethsemane to Golgotha, from a garden where he prayed all the way to the cross. And the book of Hebrews tells us that it was for the joy that was set before him. And that joy was us. That joy was us. And we are called to follow him into a new way of loving people. to love people with our lives and to give of ourselves to the people around us. Jesus invites us into a new way of living, and it's a way that makes us fully human. It's a way that makes us who we were meant to be. You know, there's a point in John where Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." And that's what this is. That's what this is. We talked at the beginning about how we all want relationships, right? We all want relationships. We want places where we're loved. We want places where we are trusted and where people care for us and look out for us. This is the road to the thing that we've been longing for. Living this way, practicing and growing towards being people who love each other with God's self-giving love. It is an amazing, amazing invitation. It talks in Philippians 2. At the beginning, it says, you know, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort. And it's really friendship language. I think what Philippians is saying is if Jesus has been your friend, if Jesus has drawn close to you, if he has loved you, if he has cared for you, then follow him and live the way that he has loved. When I look at the Bible, in the New Testament, I see over and over again that the writers of the New Testament, the first church, is wrestling with the enormity of how Jesus has loved them and what he has done for them. And they're like, it's like they're trying to filter it through. And they're going, oh, what does this say? What does this say about marriage? What does this say about how I treat people in this context or this context? That's the big question. It's like now that you have really seen what love is, now that God came and put skin on and lived it in front of you, now that he served you the way no one else has served you and went to the cross and died, how are we going to love each other? And that is the invitation that Jesus invites us into. This is what Christian community is all about. And I can't really communicate how radical it is, right? Like, it's really radical. And I wanted to talk about, and I was kind of laughing, you know, it's like friendship. It sounds like a nice, sweet retreat topic, right? Ha. because this is where the rubber hits the road, right? This is where we really learn what it means to be a Christian. We learn to be a Christian when we figure out what to do when we're really mad with our neighbor or with our friend. We figure out what to do when we have disagreement. We figure out what it means to be a Christian when we know we need to forgive somebody, but we really want to hold on to a grudge. This is where we become Christians. And the blessing is that he loved us first. And the blessing is that he gave us family. He gave us friends to practice with. He gave us people. We don't do it on our own. We do it with each other. That's why I think this place is so important, because we're going to look a lot like the world if we're not in Christian community. We're not going to have the space, and we're not going to be relating with people who have the same context. And the wonderful thing is we all get to be learners, but we get to look at Jesus and know what our target is. Isn't that great? We get to look at Jesus and say, I'm trying to love you the way Jesus has loved me. I want to love you the way Jesus has loved me. So that is what Jesus invites us into, and that is the kind of relationships that flow out of this are amazing. Think about what it means to be loved by someone who is trying to love you the way Jesus has loved them. Think about what a community looks like when it looks like a Jesus community. It's beautiful and it's amazing. I'm just going to speak as a pastor for a minute. Every time I see a new friendship crop up in our community, it brings me joy. Every time. Because I know that if you have somebody that you can share the deep things in your life, if you have someone who's trying to love you the way Jesus has loved you, I know that there is so much there for you. I know that it is such a gift, and I know that that is a strength and a solidity for you. So that's my heart and prayer for our whole community, that you would be entering into rich relationships that hold you, and that you would be leaning into those relationships, that you would know and be known, so that we can be a community of people who are practicing what it means to love and be loved like Jesus. This passage, Philippians 2, is all about what Jesus, it's all about what we should do, but it is also all about what Jesus has done for us. And we want to remember that Jesus has come and poured out his life for us. And we're going to get to celebrate and remember communion. Jesus is our friend. Jesus has laid down his life for us. And he has laid down his life so that we could know and be known by each other. I want you to know that there is space in Jesus' heart for you, and that he loves you deeply, and that he wants to know you. And I want you to know that he died so that there would be nothing between him and you. And when we take communion, which is just taking a cracker and the juice, cracker represents God's body, Jesus's body that was broken on the cross. And the juice represents his blood. We remember what he has done for us. We remember who he has been to us, that he has laid down his life for us. We remember. And we celebrate, and we receive from him. We receive his love and his strength, and we remember who he has been to us.